Today on Lasting Hope, Pastor Greg Spires.
What comes before glory? Suffering, always. If you are suffering, if you're experiencing physical infirmities, if you're experiencing struggle with sin, if you're experiencing people who annoy you, if you're experiencing the fact that you do stuff and it doesn't work right, welcome to the party. That precedes glory. Suffering today reminds us of our hope because suffering comes before glory.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. As believers, we're taught to honor God in prayer, in giving, in perseverance, among other things. But coming up, we'll learn how even in our weakness, we're able to please God as well as faithfully seek Him. Pastor Greg opens to Romans chapter 8 to discover how God not only works all things for the good, but also uses our hope in Him to see us through our weakness to the glory that is to come. Let's listen.
Romans chapter 8, a life of hope. We've got two sections we're going to look at in Romans 8, verses 18 through 30. The first section is verses 18 through 25, a life of hope even though we groan. A life of hope, even though we groan. And then finally, in verses 26 through 30, a life of hope is life in God. So we'll look at these two sections in turn. Let me read the first section, at least Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. So, look at Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. We love that verse because of why? Glory. We love glory. Not what the verse is about. Read it again. I consider that the sufferings of this present time, sufferings of this present time. What characterizes present time in this verse? Sufferings. So that is the reality the Bible is presenting to us, is a life of hope that in some ways feels contradictory, because the present time is characterized by, to some degree or another, sufferings. The future time is characterized by what? Glory. And what we need to recognize, a life of hope is not a life absent suffering. In fact, the Bible is going to present a life of hope as being in God, in and amongst suffering. So a life of hope, even though we groan. A well-known author, C.S. Lewis, I'm sure you've heard of him, wrote one of his more well-known books. It's called The Problem of Pain. If you haven't read it, you ought to. Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis says this when thinking about the main issue we have with pain. When you're suffering, what's one of the main questions we ask, especially as it's related to our relationship with God? That question is, why? Right? And so C.S. Lewis addresses this question in his thinking, and I think it's very helpful, if not comforting. The real problem, he says, is this. It's not why some pious, humble, believing people suffer, but actually the problem is why some do not. Well, that kind of reorients it a little bit. He's saying the question isn't why do we suffer? The question is why does it seem like some people don't? That's actually, to him, the larger question when he looks at the world. He later observes, a little bit later in this passage that he is covering in his book, he observes this. God is always speaking to us through the circumstances of our life, and we may pay attention to this, that through the pleasures and delights of our life, God whispers. But through the suffering and pains of our life, he shouts. Because think about it in your life. When are those times where you heard God most clearly? Was it when you were sitting on the beach with a beverage in your hand? Maybe. That might have been a profound moment of delight in God's great blessing, but I imagine it might have been crying in a waiting room of a hospital, or waiting for results, or wondering what the future held financially. It's in those moments God shouts, and we find sometimes those are the most profound times of spiritual growth in our life. So we have a life of hope even though we groan. Suffering reminds us of our hope, because suffering always comes before glory, according to this verse. Suffering reminds us of our hope. Suffering always comes before glory. The suffering of this present time is not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. Present time, present tense. Is to be revealed, future tense. Suffering today reminds us of our hope, because suffering comes before glory. So look what happened. Creation waits with longing, this is verse 19, for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation was subjected to futility. What happened is we rebelled against God and sin, and it ruined the universe. And so now creation and our own lives groan under the weight of the curse of sin. So this present time, we experience suffering because of what sin has done to the created order, as well as to our relationship with God. But in the future time, glory will be revealed when things are remade and the sons and daughters of God are revealed for who they are in Christ. So the curse of sin brings futility, bondage, and corruption. Look at verse 20. Creation was subjected to futility, bondage, and corruption there in verse 21. What is futility? Have you ever done something to the best of your ability that didn't work very well? It's gardening season. You're about to experience this a lot. You're going to plant in the same garden two tomato plants. You're going to water them the same and fertilize them the same. One is going to produce so many tomatoes, the other one will wither and die and taunt you. And it will, you'll wake up at night. What is wrong with that stupid plant? That's futility. It's your best effort. Sometimes you will invest time and energy into something and it won't work right. Another word for that is toil. That is, when we work hard, we are diligent, we are responsible, and the thing still isn't the way it ought to be. I know really good parents who have terrible kids. Now, I'm just saying what we're all thinking. I know really good parents, you're like, what happened? Like, there must be something going on at home, because these are great parents, and their kids are, well, you know, that's why you have a criminal justice system. Then you have other parents that you go, do you understand you have children? Like, did you realize that you brought forth offspring? And these kids are like Nobel Prize winners, and they're amazing, right? So why does that happen? That's toil. Sometimes we put our best effort into something, even parenting, even our work, even our marriage, even our garden, and it doesn't work right. And that's the toil of living in a sin-ruined world. There's an unpredictability to it. It's under corruption. Things break down over time. No matter how well you maintain your home or your car, at a certain point, it's going to finally just not work right. That is the corruption of the created order. The hope is that one day freedom will be experienced when the glory of God is revealed in His children. When we experience that glory that is to come. But suffering always precedes glory. So we experience hope in suffering because we say, oh, we're suffering? Oh, that's perfect. Because we know what comes before glory is suffering. So we're right on time. Everything's on schedule. Look at what Jesus says over in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 3. Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately and they said, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Oh, now we're interested. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Listen, you guys have bought 20 books with that question trying to be answered, right? When's it coming? The great late planet Earth, or whatever it was called. Jesus answered, see that no one leads you astray. So they asked a question that was legitimate, and he let them know, be careful, your desire for that, an answer to that question, leads you astray. Not the desire for what the sign is, but the fact is you tend to look for the wrong sign. Many will come saying, I'm the Christ. They will lead many astray. You will hear of wars. You will hear of rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. This must take place. The end is not yet. So what's one of the signs of the end? Wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Are these things happening? All right, good. We're right on time. There will be famines. We got any famines going on? Not here, but we got it somewhere. There's always some place under a famine. There will be earthquakes in various places. Any earthquakes going on? All these things are but the beginning of what? Birth pains, which is real similar to what Paul says over in Romans chapter 8. So what are the signs of the coming of the age? What are the signs? Jesus is on his ways. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, pandemics. Okay, I threw that one in there, but I think it fits. What are all these things? Suffering. Suffering comes before glory. So why did he tell us not to be led astray? What's the answer we want? Oh, don't worry about it. When you follow Jesus, you're going to have, I'm going to say it, your best life now. Okay? You're going to experience prosperity like you've never had. Those who follow Jesus are wealthy. Those who follow Jesus don't get sick. Those who follow Jesus have big businesses. Those who follow Jesus, their kids always obey. That's what Jesus promises. And if you're not getting these things, then you must be missing something. You need to exercise more hope. And one of the ways you can do that is by sending money to me, is what the teacher will say. Don't be led astray, because that's what we hunger for in the midst of suffering. Tell me, right? The experience of the coming glory is experienced by a little bit of glory today. And Jesus says, don't be led astray. Suffering comes first. There will be wars, rumors of wars, famines, conflicts. If you find yourself out of food in the middle of a war, praise the Lord, glory is coming. It's right on time. We don't want to hear that. But a life of hope is in Christ even though we groan, because in that groaning we discover we anticipate the glory that is to come. Everything is happening just as Jesus said he would. Let's look again at verses 23, 25, back in Romans chapter 8. We not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So what do we anticipate? What is the hope that we anticipate is our adoption, that full and final experience of being adopted into sonship, into the family of God, and the redemption of our bodies. What this means is finally we will be remade into the full conformity to what Christ is like. And it also means it isn't here yet. We can't see what's coming, but we wait in hopeful, patient endurance. What does that resurrection look like? We have to turn to another passage over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15:42. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describes for us a little bit what the resurrection will be like. So, it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. So your resurrected body will be imperishable. Your current body breaks down sometimes. As you get older, it tends to be more susceptible to injury. Injuries heal slower, or they don't heal at all. You get illnesses that you wouldn't otherwise get when you were younger. Turns out when you get older, you get to pay the bill for the bad habits you had when you were younger. But when we are raised, our body will be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Our bodies today are in some ways carrying the dishonor of our sin-stained nature, but it will be raised in glory. Our current bodies are sown in weakness, they will be raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So our raised bodies will be bodies of glory, imperishable, powerful, and spiritual. Skip down to verse 50 of 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. The mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Our hope is the resurrection of our bodies into glory in Jesus forever. That is our hope. Our hope is a glorified existence with Christ forever in the imperishable. It's a common occurrence when you buy a kid a Christmas present or a birthday present, especially a younger child. You will buy them the present they wanted, maybe an RC car, maybe the doll they wanted, and they will open it up and then promptly play with the box for the rest of the day. You buy them the thing, it's like a $200 toy, and the kid is sitting in the box for the rest of the day. And you think, I could have got a box for free out of my neighbor's recycle bin. But this is the thing. When we put our hope in the perishable, when our hope is, I hope my life is going better next week or next year, I'm playing with the box. There's no glory in that. The glory is after this time of suffering, being raised into the imperishable. That's the gift of God. When we think short term, I want my blessed life now, then what we've decided, God, I want this life to be the best it could possibly be. When what we should actually want, thinking long term, how do I make that life the best it could possibly be? How do I maximize the glory that will be experienced in Christ on that day? And the answer is patient endurance through the suffering of today. That what it means to have hope in the glory of God to come is to say, okay, what's going to take in Christ by His Spirit to endure patiently through the suffering that life offers us today? Because resurrection is our hope, and that is the glory of Christ forever. Many of us, because I'm looking around, it looks like most of you, I think, are kind of church people. You look respectable. Christianity is weird. We have to understand, and I have to say this because some of us have been church people a long time. We don't recognize how weird it is. We believe we rise from the dead. Like, you understand, for the secular humanist, that's weird. That is our hope. If there is no resurrection, according to Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, we are of people on earth the most to be pitied. Why would he say that? Why would he say if there's no resurrection, we're the most to be pitied? Because you can do better in life than the Christian life. Because the Christian life doesn't merely seek to avoid suffering. We actually say, what is it like to experience suffering patiently, knowing that one day I will experience glory? And the only reason any person would do that who's rational is if they actually believe one day they will be raised from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is our hope, because in Christ we will be raised one day, and then all sense will be made of suffering today. If there's no resurrection of the dead, this whole thing makes absolutely no sense. Let's move on to the second part. One groan among many. I don't know if you struggle with this. I know I do, and I'll just say that. One groan we might struggle with is the inward frustration. One writer put it this way, an inward frustration at both moral and physical infirmaries. So obviously we get frustrated at physical infirmaries, a sore ankle, a busted knee, a cancer, all kinds of ailments, COVID-19, whatever it might be. So we have certainly groaning from the physical infirmaries. But one of the other primary groans we experience is the fact that we still sin. And I'm not talking about sin you stumbled into. Some of you stumbled into sin. Of course, we all know you're lying. You also struggle with, maybe I can put it two ways. Number one, you have sin that you actually don't struggle with, and you're doing a really good job of convincing yourself it's not that bad, right? So there's that, but there's still sort of a low-grade shame related to it. The other one is sin you know is bad, but you just can't seem to kick it. Whatever it might be, you've got to say, you know, man, I shouldn't be this way, whether it be a temper, whether it be chemical addiction or whatever it might be. Say, this shouldn't be a reality in my life, and I know it's wrong. I'm not trying to say it's right. I know it's wrong, but I just can't seem to deal with it. That's a part of the groan. That's a part of the groan, saying, why can't I get it? And then the other groaning that comes from that is, what kind of person am I that this is a reality in my life? You ever had that thought? It's like, what kind of a Christian am I? What kind of a Christian struggles with it? I don't know anybody else who struggles with this, which is the main problem. You need to get to know some people, because they do. And this is one of the groans. One of the joys of the glory of our raised status in the future will be this. All of the desires of our heart, all of the time, will be good. And they will be profoundly satisfying. There will be none of this like we struggle with today. I wish this was okay, because it seems like it ought to be good. When we engage in that activity, we discover it's not satisfying at all. But this is one of the joys of resurrection, is everything we desire will be good and right and bring glory to God, and it will be profoundly satisfying. That will be one of the greatest things about glory. A life of hope even though we groan. What comes before glory? Suffering. How often? Always. Suffering precedes glory. That's the pattern of the Christian life. And always to some degree or another. But if you're suffering, if you're experiencing physical infirmities, if you're experiencing struggle with sin, if you're experiencing people who annoy you, if you're experiencing the fact that you do stuff and it doesn't work right, welcome to the party. That is precedes glory. We might be tempted to think that in the midst of suffering, we have to be strong, stiff upper lip, resilient. But that's actually not the answer to this, is being super awesome, tough person. The job is actually to put our hope in God when we recognize our weakness in suffering. Back in 2017, two women decided to sail from Hawaii to Tahiti. They had a sailboat. The boat was powered. They were going to try and make most of their journey on wind power, but they had an engine in the event that the wind wasn't to their favor. Not too far from Hawaii, their boat was really damaged, a little bit of a storm that they encountered, and everything could go wrong went wrong. The sails were damaged, the engine wouldn't work anymore, so they were left adrift in the open sea for 5 months. 5 months later, a fishing vessel saw their boat, radioed in to the Coast Guard in Hawaii, and gave them the boat information. They knew who it was because they had been searching for them at one point. A U.S. military ship that was on patrol in the area went out and got them. They were saved. 5 months, open sea. Here's the thing. At a certain point in the open sea, their hope is no longer in their ability to sail. Their hope is no longer in their ability to get their ship running. Their hope is no longer in anything except somebody needs to rescue us. That is their only hope. And actually, that is a great image of what it means to be a believer. We are those who came to the final realization, yeah, I don't have any hope in me. I can't figure it out. I can't do it. My hope has to be in someone rescuing me. In weakness, look in verse 26. The Spirit helps us in our awesomeness. That's what we want. We want the Spirit to show up for awesome Christians, because then if the Spirit's doing His thing in me, that, what does that mean? I'm awesome. The Spirit helps who? Let me translate it. Lamos. People who need to get rescued. In weakness, our hope is in God, because His ways are good. Our ways are not good. His ways are reliable. Our ways are not reliable. So how do we hope in God? We recognize we are weak. We recognize in our groaning we are frail. We recognize that our hope is in the Spirit getting us through this, because without Him, we're toast. It's a recognition of weakness.
Pastor Greg Spires has been drawing important insights from Romans chapter 8 for how we find hope in God even in our weakness. And we're only partway through this message titled A Life of Hope, and we'll continue next time. Also, Pastor Greg will join me in the studio in just a moment. But first, you're listening to Lasting Hope. Greg Spires is a lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And not only does he give a message from God's Word each week, but he also writes a Lasting Hope newsletter, sharing stories of hope and offering biblical wisdom that will encourage you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. That's lastinghope.org. Well, Pastor Greg has now joined me in the studio. And Greg, as we wrap up the first part of this message in Romans chapter 8, it might be surprising for some to know that Jesus came to earth to save all of us, including the lowly and the outsiders. So who exactly are those people?
You know, that reminds me of an old challenge I was given in school many years ago. The teacher was having us think about different things, and they said, you have a lifeboat, and it's got 6 seats, and there's 10 people. How are you going to decide, you know, who gets those 6 seats and is able to be spared from whatever kind of tragedy was about to come? And what's interesting, when we look at the Bible, we discover that Jesus is saving the people we wouldn't expect. A lot of times we're going to save people who have something to offer the future, the bold and the brave and the heroic. And Jesus comes and saves the marginalized, the lowly, the insecure, and the fearful. And I think what we discover when we look at the Bible is not so much that He's only saving particular people. It's just that many of us have come to the recognition that we are the lowly. And really, when we don't think we're lowly and we don't think we're outsiders, the fact is we have probably misappropriated or misunderstood our situation. All of us need saving. All of us need Jesus to bring us from the outside to the inside, to pick us up from being lowly in our sin and receive glory through his forgiveness and grace.
Well, that is encouraging news, Greg. And we have more information on our website about what it means to know God. Just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link that says Know God. That's lastinghope.org. And if you're in the Southern Oregon area, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC in Medford, where we look into God's Word each week. Join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. And we'd love to meet you in person. Just go to lastinghope.org for information and driving directions. Again, lastinghope.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue our look in the book of Romans. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.